Boy, this man literally said Manchester United's about to win the league. Well, welcome everybody to Dem Boys Watch Footy. I really appreciating you be able to have some time listening to these gents right now. But we have TC. His squad was the victor over the weekend, Manchester United. And we got Waj and your boy E, both Arsenal fans, both looking at our chops right now after
both hurting.
Yeah, 3-2 victory over Arsenal at the Emirates. Arsenal's first home defeat this year in this season. It was really tough watch. Didn't feel as though Arsenal was in that match. But before we get into it, like and subscribe, share, algorithm, give us some love there. Please join
algorithm,
the Discord.
Algorithm,
the
algorithm.
Yeah, please join the Discord while you can. So yeah, well, to the victor goes the spoils. I'll give TC the floor. Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I'll be humble in my win. As I had told you would happen before this game, I think what you're seeing is a slight resurgence of what United is.
United's not good at internet, I'll tell you that much. That's what they ain't good at.
Internet's not internet, and he can't even win, right?
Oh, man. Like, we gave this boy the whole stage. He can't even, he's frozen. Like Elsa? Oh, man. I want to give him like 10 more seconds before we take him back and just be like, okay, so next week, let's talk about Grimsby Town. Let's talk about Calafiori goals. Let's talk about a goal difference of 7 for Man United. There's so many things I could bring up, but you know, if this guy's not going to, no, he doesn't want his flowers. He doesn't want his flowers. He's booted. Sorry, listeners. Currently, Mr. TC is based in South Africa and in Botswana. And for whatever reason, his internet is not great. So because of that, we have these technical difficulties, but we have the latest and greatest to come out of the USA, Road Warriors, Mr. PJ.
Yeah, Bon Johnson. How's it going, boss?
You know my government name. Well, I guess you should by now. It's our old days, nonetheless. I'm good. I'm cold, but I'm getting excited for the World Cup, so things are looking up.
Okay, but we are going to be talking about Manchester United versus Arsenal. Did you get a chance to give a watch to that game or any of the highlights? I kind of want to hear where you think, especially being not really involved or invested in either of the squads.
Well, I mean, I see why we're talking about the English Premier League with two Arsenal fans here. I mean, they're having a great year. And I think when we made our predictions at the beginning of the season, I don't think even you guys picked them to win the league. So they're it looking is. Right now.
We both did. We both did.
Yes. You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind then.
Call faith, man, in the words of George Michael.
It's a tough one today, but I mean, I'm shocked at how well they're doing.
Yeah, Arsenal, first calendar defeat of 2026. We have our first home loss since May of 2025, which is a really big deal. DC, you're back. I'll let you get your talk on.
I apologize. Essentially, what I was trying to say is that, yeah, it was a great game. I think this is a resurgence of Manchester United. I think we saw complete capitulation by Arsenal in the sense that they just aren't able to score goals from open play unless they're from corners. And you saw a cohesive, well-organized, technical, superior team, as Arsene Wenger himself said. So it's hard to believe this is the same team that lost to Wolves and Everton that has just blown away the two top teams. I mean, we're talking about Ballon d'Or, you know? We're talking about Fernandes in his natural position just pulling the strings like Odegaard wish he could do. I mean, Odegaard got subbed.
Nobody was talking about Odegaard being a good player.
Stop it. Don't you even.
Continue.
I do believe that's a Declan Rice.
Yeah,
no, yeah. But let's give this guy his flowers because two of those goals were set up by Fernandes. I mean, I think it's clear to say that if you didn't have Bruno on your team, it would have been different. I mean, he is such a talisman. His command of the squad, his passes. I mean, shit was ridiculous. I mean, you know, I'm not a fan of the man, but you know, give flowers where the flowers are due.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. It was what you see is a cohesive team with everyone working for each other, a team that, you know, a team that took a lot to break down another great team. And let's be honest, I think perhaps you can honestly say that maybe Arsenal had an off day, if that only because of the pressure that was applied to them of the situation they're in. You know, the fact that everyone else kind of what happened, the results around them, as well as what currently was going in the game. So I think those are just slight little cracks in pressure that you might be witnessing. Not to say that it can't be plastered over, but I think those are just what, like, the feeling is that it's slight cracks with a lot of things going on. You then had a team that came in there and pretty much opened your cupboard and took whatever the fuck they wanted and then walked right out the front door and said, thank you very much, and kissed your girlfriend, your mama, your side chick, and took your goldfish. Damn.
Not the goldfish.
Okay. Why you got to take the goldfish? What I will say is, if we're looking at it from a tactical space, Michael Carrick, TC and I, we've been talking about it all week. Carrick has completely changed how the squad has played for Manchester United. We brought it up in our tactical analysis. Your goalie had some really big saves. And then as well, Arsenal gifted you a goal. That third goal from Cunha, just a moment of sheer brilliance. Use the actual defender to cover Raya's own face so he couldn't even see that ball bending the way that it did. So I got to give props. Like, Manchester United.
What about
Bogu's
second goal?
Was beastly. Let's call it what it was. I mean, it was like a 1-2-3 times between him and Fernandez. Void. And then just an unbeatable ball.
That's what you call beauty and the beast, those two goals, okay? Beauty and the beast. Because I think you described
a really great Danish player. Very happy for him to get some love from his transfer from Lecce. A lot of Manchester United fans were not really in love with him as a left wing back. So the fact that he's playing as a left mid, being able to both support Luke Shaw, but then as well having some attacking authority within his matches, has been a really pleasant surprise as well. Definitely thought this game would have been something where you take Luke, you move Dorgu back and you bring Cunha in. But credit to the manager. He really knows.
He does. I mean, that's what he does. I know, right? Who would have thought?
Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thought? Like, Manchester United had Carrick a couple years ago. He defeated Arteta. He had a really strong interim spell. And then who'd you go with after Michael Carrick did that the first time around?
We went with Ole.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Look.
So.
And then Costile.
Boys, I have to ask you a question. And nice to see BJ. I have to ask you Arsenal fans a question. Are you worried about the lack of goals that are coming from open play currently?
Not really. So, my take, I'm sure Waja has a different viewpoint, but my take has always been Arsenal are being smothered by low block squads. And one thing that we're not seeing right now is from our number 8, as well as our 6s and 10, our midfield is just not performing the way that we need it to. I don't know if it's down to the flexibility from the manager of how to really set up the squad. What I'm saying from Odegaard is he comes way too far back to be able to collect the ball. His timing to get the ball up front is not strong enough. He's not able to dribble to carry it up. And the spaces that he really has between him, whoever's playing right back, either Timber or Ben White, and then as well as our right wing, Saka, and then on some dates, Madueke, it's just not working right now like it has in the past. And on our left side, it is completely disjointed. I am not seeing where our left-sided attack is. Is it because we always bring our left back into midfield to create that overload? Possibly, but we have no width when we truly need some to be able to give more chances. But what I do see is the light at the end of the tunnel. Whenever we play in Europe where teams actually want to play against us, we can actually perform.
Okay.
Squads in the Premier League currently want to be able to only defend and counterattack against us. And that is the way that Arsenal need to be able to evolve and become better. But at this current stage, I'm not seeing it, but I'm not worried about the lack of open play goals, because just last Wednesday, I watched 3. I'm very excited to see where it kind of goes, but I'll let you talk on your viewpoint for it.
I would say very much the same, man. You know, is it a bit of a concern? Absolutely. But this is the same concern that I've been voicing for the past couple of weeks, that, you know, our number 9, Gyökeres, needs to be scoring. Our strikers need to be scoring. It's all the other players that are scoring for the team right now. And that's my only concern. But, you know, they are, again, they are making up for the lack of goals that we're not getting from Victor Gyökeres. You know, we just got Gabby Jesus back. We just got Kai Havertz back. Mourinho's been scoring goals, you know, when he's even being put in a striker position.
That's horseshit.
What are you talking about, horseshit?
Because the top goal scorer in the Premier League is Victor Gyökeres, buddy.
Yeah, he has five.
Okay.
But if
he has five, but you know, he's still not scoring enough for what I need him to be doing.
No, your whole team ain't scoring enough, to be fair. You can't rely on him. Like, the whole team has got very low.
No, no,
the top scorer's got five across the board. My top scorer has got nine.
Or first him.
Look, I don't think it's enough. I think they need to be producing a lot more. Goals. And at this point, we are now at that point of the season, gents. It's now January. And, you know, the transfer window is about to close. It is time that the folks like the Victor Gyökeres of the world, you know, put up a shot there.
I do have to rebut real quick to what TC just said. Our whole team's not scoring. We're second in the league in goals for at 42. And if you want to take away the set piece goals that everybody loves to talk about, we have 16. We're still within the top half of the league of goals scored. Like, we're scoring. The issue is that in these bigger moments, we understand what these teams are trying to do. The Nottingham Forests of the world, what we're going to see this coming weekend at Leeds, a team like Leeds, they've learned from their first time where they wanted to play open and we beat them 5-0. Like, they understand this time around, this is for their Premier League survival. They're going to be compact. This is the time for Arteta to try to be tactically flexible and be able to create a system just for this game. I'm not even talking about for the rest of the season. I'm talking about just for this match, because we haven't been scoring the way that we need to. But I really have to push back. Like, we're not scoring goals. We've scored 42.
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said, friend. Don't get the words twisted up. I think, let me help you clarify comprehension. What I said is open from open play, and that your goals are being spread across. Your top goal scorer is 5. But I hear you about the point. You're right. You do have a lot of goals.
Said 16 goals are from set pieces. We still have scored a considerable number of goals.
If I could finish my sentence,
it's 42.
No, what 42 I was trying to say 16, specifically bro. Is Pick that... What I was saying, what I was saying is that you've got good play. They've been from more than from set play than anything else. And I said, I understand that. I'm not saying you're not scoring goals because you have the highest number, the second number from set players. It was just an interesting stat that in the Premier League, that's all we're swinging. Anyway, moving on.
No, I'm literally talking about the Premier League. We have 42 goals in the Premier League. 16 of those are from set pieces. We still have 26 goals that we've scored.
Penalties, buddy. You haven't even counted your penalties.
We got to sneak in a pad stat there.
Look at you. Trying to pad stat. Yes, sis.
Can't How is that a pad face. Stat?
Because
I'm telling you what
literally
happened.
You were just like, oh, yeah, we
just
played.
Because we have a
you
guy
just
named
said you got 16 goals, and then you
want
the rest of them are from open play.
Doesn't take away from us, you know?
Penalties
Look,
on goals?
I'm giving y'all your flowers. What I want to see Manchester United moving forward, what I want to see moving forward from this match, I want to see.
What do you want to see?
Manchester United
see?
Keep this consistency up. One thing that's been in the past, you've already touched on it, which you touched on already earlier. How do you get past the Wolves? How do you get past the Brightons? How do you get past the Aston Villas? How do you get past the Leeds United of the world? How are you going to score more goals against them? Because now they've
Those
watched
the towns of the world. I mean, look.
Yeah. You've now played against the big boys of the world. The whole world is seeing how you play now. You play, the you get your rondos off, and you try to keep it very free-flowing. I love it. This is something that the league needs. I completely agree with you. And it was a very big wake-up call for Arsenal as well as Arsenal fans. I'm tired of all of the negativity that I've been hearing, the woe is me bull. Like, look, we got our asses beat. Sometimes that happens. The way that it happened, especially at home, TC, you put it greatly. Like, they did come into the house. They did start ruffling up everything. They put their feet on our couch. It was tough. But you know what? We got to keep going. It's 15 more games left at home. Well, yeah,
and we've lost 3 matches
gotta
all
give it
season.
Yeah, whooped us, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think Man United can win the title?
Absolutely not. Here's my other question for you, because let's not get into pipe dreams, TC. But do you think that Carrick can be go to permanent manager?
I think
he was fired from Middlesbrough last season. You know, he's coming as a caretaker. There's obviously a laundry list of people with, you know, fantastic resumes. Do you think Carrick can be the one to take you guys through the rest of the season and actually keep you in top five and hopefully get you a Champions League spot?
I think it's too early to tell. And I think we have to...
Really, man, you got 16 games, man. What do you think? You just said, oh, we beat the top
boys.
Let me ask
you this, Roger. Let me ask you a dumb question and I'll help you answer that question because... Would you marry a girl after two dates?
Dumb questions get dumb answers. I mean,
exactly.
After two great dates, like beating Man City and after Man City and Arsenal dates?
That's what I'm saying. Probably. I think, in all honesty, shut out. That's okay. I think Carrick's done very well.
On my dates, Man City and Arsenal? Then, yeah, maybe.
I mean, look, I'm excited too. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm very excited.
You see, I also gotta put it to you like this as well. When Arteta came on, he came on in December after we had Unai Emery just kind of stinking it up. He ended off the season in eighth place. We kept him. We had a really tough time to open the season. Before anything happened, he was able to transform the squad at the very end. I was very much, we keep him because I was tired of how inconsistent our squad could be. And I've seen how Chelsea do things with their managers. I've seen how other squads have done things with their managers. And I felt as though if we didn't back him at that time, it would have been over. What I've seen from Manchester United has been pretty much all of the things that I don't want to do. So yes,
you mean
I'm
when
definitely
Kirby's-
down to commit if that didn't compute. But you, like, I just couldn't really do what Manchester United have been doing. Having Mourinho, having Van Gaal, having Ragnik, having Ole, like, that would drive me insane as a fan. Look, you won trophies with Erik ten Hag. Are you happy about it? Are you, like, I don't see any sustained success. I don't see anything.
Are you happy that you won nothing in seven seasons?
They say, oh, yeah, we need more. We need to stay in the top four.
No, I hear you, Erik. That's a great point.
No, he's using the typical. And this goes to both of our teams. You know, we're both in a very interesting period right now, right? And I think Man U is an extremely interesting period because, you know, they've gone through so many managerial changes. Is this the point of stability that they can actually keep up? You know, because you guys, for the amount of losses, you didn't have that many, less than 10 losses in the Prem, and you guys have managed to come back from a shambolic beginning of the season to now showing hope. So the question is now, can Carrick be your savior? Can he keep you up there? You don't have a very difficult, it will be grinding, but you don't have a very difficult next month ahead of you. And you have no European matches. You're out of cup, Ken. You're going to keep your squad healthy. You know, guys are literally in the best position you could ask for.
That's right.
Not win the league, but at least make a Champions League spot.
That's right. That's right.
You got Fulham, Tottenham. Come on now. You got Fulham, Tottenham, West Ham, Everton for February. If you don't have a full maximum point.
If this boy doesn't get to cut his hair. Yeah. He's three matches away from cutting his hair.
Yeah. And then we
are
could
you
going
to celebrate for the boy?
That's right. Imagine that happens. And then we catch up to the dipshits who are faltering at the top there. I think, no, look, Guaja, to answer your question, I think you're possible. Yes, absolutely. He could put us in the top four. Could he be the manager? 100%. I think he should be given the job. I like him, but I'm mostly not going to get ahead of ourselves. Something happened with Ole. He won his first eight games and we were like, Ole at the wheel. To be fair, I think Ole deserved the job, and if Michael does a great job, then fuck it. He deserves the job, shouldn't he? He's auditioning, is he not? If you go do a temp job and you do a great job and they're like, actually want to keep you, the other person who's coming back is the new person we look for. You're the person. So that's what's going to happen. That's just what happens in jobs. It's nothing different in football. So essentially he's auditioning for 4 months. If he does a great job, the team performs and plays and Fergie keeps smiling, boys. We might as well call ourselves PJ and wear USA jerseys because we are definitely going to the World Cup.
I'm taking this kid into the league. Both your teams are trash.
Well, that is a very interesting statement right there.
Right.
To kind of close it off. Okay. Yeah, to close it off on the Manchester United Arsenal talk, I will say one thing that I got to see more of is just some more fight from the squad, like from the Arsenal team. That was a worrying showing, having to make 4 panic substitutions. I was very happy that he made them. The fact that
and at that time.
Yeah, the fact that he made him, like, Arteta has been known to be very stubborn with his subs. The fact that he did them at that specific time period, I gave him kudos. The issue was that whole squad was just like, I'm tired. I don't know what to do. And you're like, please, this is Manchester United. Please fight. Like, what are we doing here? So I want to see that fight again. And I want to understand, like, can players actually take other positions within this space? Zubi, this ain't Spain, bro.
Man.
This ain't Spain. You can't be lollygagging with some of these passes. That's your second time this month where you've made a really bad pass to the team. This time you actually were punished for it. The first time, you got very lucky. So, yeah, I really want to see Norgaard get some time, game time, especially within the Premier League. I'm like, I love Zubi, but he's coming over from another league and he's playing every match, every minute of every match. Like, there can be games where we do actual rotation with the players on the bench. So that's my only thing. TC, I'll let you take, and then Waja, you close us out for Arsenal versus Manchester United talk.
Okay, cool. I just want to go back to what you said about the four subs. I think, you know, in rugby, we had a groundbreaking coach who did something very similar. He brought on all the subs at once. It's called the bomb squad. The idea is to affect the game with change. So I don't disagree. It doesn't get done very often in football. And I do it myself when I play in FIFA. I bring on all five because you sometimes want to bring effect change. So I understand that. I think from a Man United perspective, I think you hit the nail on the head is consistency. We want consistency in the next few games. That's where we're going to see the tough times. And I think if we can get to the top four, then it's going to be cooking with gas. I think we saw two top goals. And I think Dorgu is potentially the next Bale in Man United's form, a left back moving to a left wing, you know, who plays left wing. The kid is 20 years old and he plays with no fear. He makes like the bald head of Waja look like the bald headed eagle. You know what I mean? He is just smooth.
Talking about freedom right there. Smooth and freedom. Smooth and free. I appreciate that. Now, you know, to close it out, I mean, again, I think every single time that the Devils and the Gunners are playing, it's going to be very emotional. You know, we never know which way the match is going to go. We both won one at the other's ground this year. And you know what? And there's only one goal difference, funnily enough, right, between the two matches, which I think is quite funny. They were both very emotionally charged. I think this game was a true, the type of battle that I think we wanted, regardless of who the winner was going to be. We wanted to see our teams go out there. We wanted to see goals. I think we would have been very, very upset if it had been, you know, 1-0 to either side. And so, you know, even our predictions, we were all wrong last week.
Well,
we were all wrong about
this. Yeah, 3-2 Arsenal.
You were the exact opposite. So that's the furthest away.
I said closest.
The exact
said
furthest
closest
away.
Because
no.
I remember you.
I had one goal difference. Yeah. I said 2-1.
Technically, he is the most right. I hate to say that.
Technically, yes.
Technically, semantics, but you know, lawyer. But look, you know, that it's now that part of the season is done. Now both of these juggernaut teams now need to go into the next week, you know, with it's redemption time for Man U, and that was a redemption match. Arsenal needs to pick themselves up because they are now only 4 points ahead of everyone else. We're coming from 9. That is absolutely abysmal. So, you know, let's see what the rest of Q1 has to offer. I think that's going to be the decider, right? Yes, I'm using the financial terms because you know what? Bro, I've been talking Q1s and Q2s all day. I'm sorry. You don't use financial calendars? But let's see what the rest of the 2 months have to do. And then, you know, then the next thing, because, you know, I'm going to bring this call kind of all the way back down to PJ, is that people are fighting for World Cup spots. This is, once we get out of this cold period right now, once the transfer, you know, window is closed, once the teams are solidified for the rest of the season, once the picks get made, of course, people are fighting for their teams and for their seasons right now. And that's what they should be doing as professionals. But these guys are all fighting for number one spots for the qualified teams. So I think now we're going to see things really, really heat up. And that will bring us all the way to June. So I'm very excited to see what the rest of the season has in store for both teams. Of course, you know where I want you guys to be, Man United, but, you know, we'll talk about that another day.
Can I ask one last question on this question I asked last week? Is there one player from Man United that you would take in Arsenal's team
Brian and Bumo said it the same time. Like, it doesn't have to change. He was the best player, I think, on the pitch. When he was taken off, Cunha did very well. But no, nobody's going to say the Rat is that great of a guy. Come on now.
I was going to say Harry Maguire because he did get, like, man of the match. But okay.
Why you fucking?
We know what you, we know exactly what you're trying to do. Got you. But we'd love to open this up to our listeners. I see a few of y'all are in here. But yeah, please let us know what you think from that. I'm going to end the show right there because we got some other things to be talking about for the rest of the weekend. Starting in February, we're going to start doing a few different things on the show. We're going to do a few episodes specifically about Black history within football. And then as well, PJ and I, and then some of the other guys, we're going to do some very specific individualized episodes to go and talk about each team that has qualified for the World Cup. And we're going to go through an entire list before the World Cup. So we have a nice big bang for y'all to be able to have some understanding about these different squads that have joined. And you can make your decisions and your picks and whatever leagues or brackets that you're in for the World Cup upcoming this summer. But from your boy E, from TC, from Waj, from PJ, want to thank y'all again. Y'all have a good one.